Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And today we have something special because Mother's Day is coming up. And I want to introduce Sandra Foster Lovas to talk about her mother and a poem she wrote. And actually, you know what? It's her mother. It's Mother's Day coming up. You say whatever you want. Sandra Lovas, go ahead. Are you going to read the poem first and then talk about your mother? Is that what you like to do?
Yes, I think so.
Perfect. Okay. When did you write it? Let me just ask.
I actually wrote this poem on the occasion of my parents' 50th wedding anniversary.
And how long ago was that?
To both of them. Maybe 15, 20 years ago.
Okay.
But I've tweaked it a little and just addressed it to Mother because of Mother's Day.
Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
Dear Mother, I remember old songs around the old piano, Sundays filled with church and pot roast, viewing decorated yards on Christmas Eve. But most of all, I remember Mother, Kathleen. I remember hot chocolate and Santa mugs on Christmas morn, camping trips and fishing trips and other frolics. A long black dachshund we call Doc, a small white puppy named Marty. But most of all, I remember Mother, Kathleen. I remember a playhouse filled with childhood treasure, baby chicks and baby ducks at Easter time, camelons I bought and feared from the state fair each year. But most of all, I remember Mother, Kathleen. I remember learning to tie my shoes, tell left from right, learning to swim to loud applause, learning not to fear the dark, eventually. But most of all, I remember Mother, Kathleen. I remember summer assaults on the library for books, piano lessons and dancing lessons and practicing same, cartwheels and somersaults on the front lawn. But most of all, I remember Mother, Kathleen. I remember my first date, my first prom, porch lights blinking me to come in, Easter hats from a special shop each and every spring, praise for high grades, fines for spilt milk, but most of all, I remember Mother, Kathleen. I remember toiling away in my backyard study, being cheerleader, or wanting to be, long visits to grandparents in summer, shorter ones year-round. But most of all, I remember Mother, Kathleen. I remember swinging on our swing set ever higher and higher, lazing in our hammock with a book, riding my bike and walking on stilts. But most of all, I remember Mother, Kathleen. I remember radio soaps and kiddie shows replaced by TV sitcoms, trick-or-treating on Halloween night, Bible stories and bedtime stories and fairy tales. But most of all, I remember Mother, Kathleen. I remember candlelight service and scripture read before our tree on Christmas Eve, Santa stockings on Christmas morn, snowmen once a blue moon. But most of all, I remember Mother, Kathleen. I remember perming my hair and skinning my knees, resisting napping and bedtime pleas, staging a circus amid backyard trees. But most of all, I remember Mother, Kathleen. I remember going to college, leaving the nest, returning home for laundry and rest, picnics and weddings, anticipation keen, but most of all you, Mother, Kathleen. You, licking my wounds and soothing my feelings, supporting my dreams at new no ceilings, aiming me high, holding me dear, caring for me each day of the year, hugging me tightly, guiding me well, reprimanding me lightly, loving me swell.
Well, once I could stop wanting to just burst into tears, oh, that was just wonderful. That is wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you for reading that. You know, in the world of love letters and poetry, you evoke so many specifics, which is really the name of the game. It's so special, doesn't mean anything.
No. The essence of writing is specifics.
And all the things that you got to do that are a tribute to her because she let you do them or made it possible for you to do them. So it really is, in a way, of a love letter about her.
Exactly.
Under the guise of all that you were so privileged to have growing up.
That's true. And the main privilege was the love.
Yes.
She was the heart of the family, and it was kind of a Norman Rockwell family, lost in the mid-20th century, but sort of combining 19th century tradition and 20th century gusto.
Well, I want to hear you say more about that, but I just want to point out one more thing that was so touched me, is you kept invoking her name.
Yeah.
You kept repeating her name, and it just so brings the presence of a person.
Well, it's a lovely name.
Yes, yes, it is a lovely name, but it's more than that to you. I mean, it is. Oh, that's just wonderful.
Well, maybe I in part did that because, in addition to what she gave to her five daughters, I have four younger sisters.
Mm-hmm.
She also found in her heart and in her energy time to do and give much to neighbors and people at her church and people who were strangers and needy, and even one woman who was mentally ill and shunned by everyone else, mm-hmm. and immigrants who came in and needed to learn English. And the funny thing, or the extraordinary thing, was Mother didn't think she ever did very much in this life. And
isn't that the mark of the most truly giving people, who do it so naturally that it doesn't seem like they're doing anything to themselves?
Right.
Yeah.
And she always only half joked that she would like her tombstone to read, "She did what she could."
Oh.
And she meant it in a very self-deprecating way.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, even though she wasn't a perfectionist about every little thing about the house and the
mm-hmm.
yard,
mm-hmm.
but she wound up being virtually perfect at being a mother, which anyone will tell you is the hardest challenge of all.
That poem, and looking at you and listening about your four younger sisters, I would say that it's too bad that Judy Garland won't get to play you in the movie.
Oh, well, I love Judy Garland.
It sounds like one of those turn-of-the-century movies.
But it sounds like Judy Garland, from what I know of her, mm-hmm. perhaps wasn't given the emotional, unconditional love and nurturing that gives a person emotional stability.
In true life, but she knew how to play the part of a girl who was getting exactly that, which may be a tribute to how she knew that would feel, by the way.
She knew,
if she could have had it.
She knew.
That's so wonderful.
Yeah.
And your parents were married over 50 years?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they were college sweethearts and married a year or two after college and were always married. And I thought growing up that's just how the whole world was. And in fact,
it was how your world was.
That the whole world was much like my mother and
mm-hmm.
my father.
Was that true in your community? And you were born and raised
in Texas,
in Dallas. So that's mm-hmm. not like some little town.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't some little town. But when you're growing up and in school and you have your school and your church or your community places that you go, maybe you always think it's always like this,
yes,
and later
yes.
you
oh,
learn there are many
true.
Different
right.
Ways. And
your own wallpaper becomes the universe when you're growing
right.
up, I think, yes.
Right, and then you can realize
there are other
more
kinds
strongly.
Of normal.
Yeah, there are other kinds of normal, and there's much to be said for many of those, too.
Sure, sure. Now, when you gave her this, what? Uh-huh. Oh, I love that. Oh, see, I need a television moment
oh,
here.
Gee.
Okay, just that expression on your face.
Oh, well, it was.
Can
the,
you talk about that?
They didn't want a party for mm-hmm. their 50th anniversary. They mm-hmm. fought against that. We were going to give a party, but we decided to have a dinner, just family. and we made a book for them, and we gathered letters from friends and family from different eras of their life and from each of us, and we made a beautiful metallic gold cover, and one sister, Laura, learned to do fancy computer fonts and all, you know, in order to make this beautiful. And Mother started hyperventilating.
Well, I was too, and I just met you.
She was just hyperventilating. I mean, she just couldn't believe it. Right. She was just overcome. Mm-hmm. Very emotional person, very loving, and just incredible. And all that love came back to her, especially in the last 2 months of her life. Mm-hmm. Because her hospice offered us, and we accepted gratefully, the opportunity to have CDs made for her.
Oh.
And there was a 2-week period and a telephone number, and we got the word out. Then anyone who wished and knew her could call in that 2-week period and say anything to her they wished.
Oh, my.
And they did. And you could call more than once, and some people did. And this was from all different relationships and eras of her life. More people called in than they'd ever had for anyone. I think there were about 40 or 50. It took 3 CDs, actually.
And you have those.
Yes. And Mother played them over and over and over. We played them for she would ask for. She wanted to hear her records. Her records, she called them, and sometimes she would talk back to the people. I don't know if she thought they were there. She had a degree of dementia in her last years, but she certainly knew who they were and knew these memories. And it's the greatest gift I think anyone can give someone in their last days.
Yes.
Because not everyone was able to come from afar and visit her personally. And yet they had a strong connection with her in various ways and various. So it sort of made a mosaic of her life.
Oh, and it, you know, at that stage in life, sorry, I'm gonna cry also. At that stage of life, there is such a thin line between hello and goodbye.
Yes, yes, there
and
is.
It's just, oh, it's a wonderful thing. I've never heard that before. I'm happy to know it.
I've never heard of it either, and that's why I wanted to be sure to say that today, because there is no more.
Do you want to say the name of the hospice?
Well,
this was in Dallas?
It was in a small town where my sister Donna lives, about 2 hours from Dallas, called Denison. It's on the Texas-California border by a huge lake, Lake Texoma. And I've never heard of it being done otherwise, but the technology is out there, and they offer it to everyone. I'm sure almost everyone accepts.
You know, that's a wonderful thing for people who may be at a stage of their life where they don't have the physical strength to sit up and read.
Right.
They may not have the eyesight they need anymore to read.
Right.
And
even having guests is a strain on their energy.
And even what?
Having a personal guest coming
is
an energy strain because they want to interact.
I have a thought.
Okay.
This is just gorgeous. I say the same thing about love letters all the time.
Yes.
That people should write those letters because the love and gratitude that you take to your grave doesn't serve anyone. What you share and give out serves everyone.
That's true.
You get to do it and bathe in the positive, the person you write to. And having these records is wonderful. The truth of the matter is that records corrode over time.
Yes.
And they don't last for generations. And they may not even last till. And also technology changes, and what you can play today, you may not be able to.
That's true.
Have you thought of having those transcribed into handwriting?
It's a good idea.
I wish you would.
It's a good idea.
Because let this travel down the generations. What children are there in your family?
My sister Rhonda has 3 children, and my sister Karen has 2. Mm-hmm. So they're 5 direct Her grandchildren.
Yes, okay.
Mother's grandchildren.
So wouldn't that be a nice thing for them eventually?
Yes.
I mean, you could send a copy to each of your sisters.
Yes.
Which I think would be wonderful. And then the grandchildren would have them, and they'll put them in some treasure chest someday. And I will tell you, as sure as we're sitting here, from my own experience and what I've learned in this world of love letters, is that somebody four generations down the line is going to find them.
Yes.
And they're going to learn something about their heritage and the legacy of love that they were left.
Mm-hmm. True.
You want to say all your sisters' names just for the joy of it?
Yeah, we're all very close. Mm-hmm. And that was always important to Mother. She always expressed that she hoped, even after she was... I mean, she would do this decades before she was even sick.
That's when you have to start planning these things.
Right,
yes.
That we would always be close. Mm-hmm. And we definitely are. It's Sandra, Donna, Karen, Laura, Rhonda.
Okay, thank you.
And I was an only child for 5 years and then acquired four younger sisters, so it's a strange
birth
order.
In a short
amount
of time?
Fairly. They are 2 years apart or three.
Mm-hmm. 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 It's wonderful hearing from you. You have some other things. I see you have some notes here and things you want to talk about. Please just do it.
I wrote a very short poem that ended what four of us spoke at Mother's Memorial, and one didn't want to speak, but she's a fine organist and played the organ.
Oh, nice.
So the other lovely thing is that my sister Laura and her husband made a slideshow of pictures from Mother's life to show while a bell choir that Mother had been in at her church played. And we had not seen maybe a third of those photographs. They were the ones she kept in her room and never gave up.
Yeah.
And so we were seeing at that service beautiful photos of Mother from various eras of her life that we had never seen before.
Really?
And then I had to get up and speak.
And you could barely breathe,
I'm
sure. Oh,
I could barely breathe.
What kind of photos were they?
Well, just life from childhood and then on up, college. And she was a beautiful woman and May Queen in her little town as a teenager. And
do you look like her?
A college beauty. I've been told that all my life.
Well, I mean, if you're saying she's a beautiful woman, I'm looking at you. I can see that, yes.
I
could certainly be.
I was told that all my life.
So here is, she's gone. She has taken her last breath, and yet she manages to leave you still a current gift, a photograph you've never seen.
I don't know that she planned that.
I understand that.
You know, you can't take all your memorabilia in a room, in a care facility.
But how lovely that she still had something to give you that was new even after she was gone.
Oh, and they were just gorgeous and happy, and some from early married life and some with all of us, but many of them from childhood and early adulthood we had never seen. So it was...
That's just wonderful.
And the minister tried to talk us out of doing that. And Laura said, absolutely not. You know, we think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
And finally it turned out he was trying to talk us out of it because he didn't know how to operate the machine.
Oh, poor guy.
And she said, I'll find someone who does.
Oh.
I'll come to your church on Sunday. Yeah. We grew up in this church. I'll find someone to run the machine. And he later said he thought it was the most touching, evocative service he'd ever seen.
I'm sure. Okay, go ahead. Now that we got that little background.
Anyway, after talking about her in prose and her giving, loving heart, I ended this way. 90 rich years lived with laughter and tears, lived with each nuance emotion hears, lived with rich feeling the heart endears, lived with firm faith the spirit adheres, and in every moment of every role, love suffused Kathleen, love suffused her soul.
Again, her name.
So I feel richly blessed,
yes,
and all my
are.
Sisters feel
yes.
richly
oh,
blessed.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if every child on earth got to grow up feeling that way about his and her mother, and if every mother had the luxury of being able to give that.
Right.
Yes.
Right. She was high energy and just very focused on us, and we just all benefited from it so enormously.
Now, I know you're a writer.
I am.
And I'm just curious about something. Just as kind of an interesting, well, to me, maybe it wouldn't be to you, but you can say, if your mother were to write you a love letter from
above,
what would she be saying to you, looking at who you are right now and your sisters?
Well, she was always, you know, very proud of any little thing we did. Mm-hmm. And I, in recent years, have written a novel.
Do you want to tell us about that? Is that
I'll tell you about
it
another time. But it's the name of it's Christopher's Legacy.
Mm-hmm. And Christopher is?
Christopher is a character that I made up.
Oh, I see. Okay, I didn't know if that was
And it's nothing about my family, my birth family. Although, you know, that molds who you are,
yes.
And who you are molds what you write.
Every fiction is written by somebody real.
Right, yeah. And your values, mm-hmm. and what you find interesting, even. But she would be very proud about that, and she loved the poems that I write, mm-hmm. and she loved the fact that I married a man who also loves me unconditionally. And
that's a relief to any parent.
And
that you've left your children in good and safe hands.
And I even think... and I may be wrong about this, and hope I am, but I think knowing what it feels to give and receive unconditional love, mm-hmm. in your childhood conditions you to know what it feels like if you're receiving it in a romantic sense,
oh, sure.
as an adult.
Well, that has to do with you grow up knowing your self-worth, doesn't it?
That has a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. And so I was very fortunate. And maybe I was very determined because I would not have married if I didn't feel give and receive that same degree and type of unconditional love. And not everyone is capable of it.
Or not everybody sees what's coming around the corner. Mm-hmm. And part of that, I think, is luck.
Oh, definitely.
Sometimes something comes around the corner that you couldn't have seen.
Oh, absolutely.
Know? And then on
absolutely.
The other hand, having said that, when you look back, you can see maybe red flag, and where was I?
Yeah.
With my blinders on, so.
No, dumb luck.
Wonderful hearing about your life.
My husband's father had a saying, better lucky than good, and that's true.
Yes.
So, I just feel a lot of joy, and we all did after Mother's death, all five of us, that the consolation is that we'd done everything we could to pour out our hearts to her in her last illness. And visit, and that is the most comfort that you can take, that you were blessed, and that then it was our season of giving, that she had about 3 years of limited, and she'd always been so healthy and mm-hmm. so energetic, but we were able to give and help her relive her memory. She wrote a partial biography of her life at one point, and we would read that to her over and over and over. Mm. She did not have Alzheimer's, but she had vascular dementia mm-hmm. after strokes.
No.
And
was she aware of that?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Oh, she was very aware. Yeah.
And was your dad alive at this point?
He was not. Mm-hmm. He had died of cancer earlier, about age 80, mm-hmm. and she died at age 90. So, no, he had been gone for some mm-hmm. time at that time.
So he didn't have to suffer being alone without her.
No, he did not.
So what you just said is so important. I just want to say that again to everybody listening and just for my own getting to hear it again and say it again. When you talked about you had done all you could do, you had given all you could give during her lifetime. That is so important that there be no regrets.
Right. Often people feel
the
guilt
only,
also
right.
when people die, in addition to the great loss.
Right.
And we had no guilt to feel.
Yes. So the only thing you suffered was losing her.
Right.
But, you know, you so carry her in you.
Absolutely.
At every moment. Do you... Do something on the anniversary of her death? Do you do anything special too, or do you at Christmas time or certain holidays?
Actually, she died just a few days ago. It was the anniversary. Emails and our phone calls with my sisters. And we remember her a lot in email.
So she's right here.
She's right here.
Yes.
And
oh,
things
wonderful.
That she said. And if it occurs to us in a flash, we'll just email the others.
Oh, good.
And then we all get to relive it. And some people remember, you know, different things. Mm-hmm. But often it will bring back something she said or did or something funny.
It sounds kind of like you're all getting to still live with your mother, even though you can't locate her exactly physically.
That's true.
But
and
you're still
also,
living with her.
Also our father.
Yes.
Yeah, we do that. She promised Donna, who was the sister that lived 10 minutes away in the last 3 years of Mother's life. Mm-hmm. She asked Donna, and Donna promised her that she would do everything to keep the family together and many of the things that Mother herself did. And Donna has, but really we all have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just laugh, and it's also a bond amid the five of us to have these memories and these lessons and these examples.
And the children, your nieces and nephews, of course, they know her well and remember.
Yes, but Mother was not one of those people who put more focus on her grandchildren once they were born.
Nice.
Which is unusual. But, I mean, people joke about they sort of vanish, you know, but they're delighted that mm-hmm. they love this child. But none of them lived in the same city as
mm-hmm.
Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to say that was her one regret, that she wasn't even closer to her grandchildren because they were in another city.
Mm-hmm.
She loved them, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But they,
but her life
in
was
no
you.
Way.
Yes.
I mean, her five daughters were her life, absolutely, once she had the five daughters.
Oh, I could certainly understand that. Well, I want to thank you so much for doing this with me.
It was my pleasure,
and
Janet.
Talking about this wonderful woman, and I feel like I know her.
She was
yes.
remarkable.
I could
but
tell.
But ordinary in many ways, and yet so remarkable because of what she wanted to give
mm-hmm.
and therefore was able to give.
You know, I think that is even a more profound kind of remarkable, that you say she was remarkable, ordinary in so many ways,
mm-hmm.
but remarkable.
Right.
That being remarkable was natural.
Yeah, or organic somehow.
Yes.
It just came from deep inside and manifested in all these ways.
Well, thank you for introducing us to Kathleen.
My
thank
pleasure.
You, dear.
Her full name,
yeah,
I'll just
yes,
say
please,
that for
yes.
the record, was Kathleen Jennings Foster. She grew up in Kearns, Texas, went to school at East Texas State in Commerce, and then lived the rest of her adult life in Dallas, or the Dallas area.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Janet.
And I just want to say that I'd like you all to remember that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is always a special occasion. But when those special occasions do arise, like an anniversary or a birthday, Valentine's Day, any kind of holiday at all, you can turn that into a wonderful reason for writing a real love letter. And by the example here, Sandra's example of specifics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the gift is that you remembered. And I'm guessing that when your mother was so overwhelmed, was she not touched by how much you remembered, how all the specific things you mentioned?
Yes, but when we would mention them, she would remember it too. We always feared she would lose memory,
mm-hmm.
and Donna would read her parts of the biography or mention things, and then we might say, "Do you remember that, Mother?" And she would say, "Of course
okay,
I
good.
Do."
So that's just another value of the love letter with specifics. It brings a person back to her or his strongest self.
Right.
Thank you, dear.
My pleasure.
Until next time, this is Janet Gallen and
Sandra Foster Lovaas
saying goodbye.